Welcome back to Tales of Southwest Michigan's Past. This is Michael Delaware. I am your host. And in today's episode, I wanted to go back into talking about stories of the Victorian era. I did an episode earlier this year on Victorian era carriage accidents and that sort of thing, and it was pretty well received in terms of listenership. So I thought I would revisit this topic and give you a collection of accidents and tragedies that befell the people during daily life in the Victorian era of Southwest Michigan. Now, these involve everything from carriage accidents to accidents on the railroad, as well as bizarre and other strange accidents that were all part of daily life during this era. So I found a collection of stories that I wanted to share with you today, so come along and join me. Now, all of the stories today came from my Exploring the Willard Library Archives of the Battle Creek Newspapers, and I'm going to begin with a collection of clippings that I put into a file called Carriage Accidents, but some of these accidents involve carriages having sad impacts with railroad cars, so there'll be a mix of stories here. The first one comes from 1880. It was published in May in the Nightly Moon, and it says, very briefly, William Lewis still carries his arm in a sling on account of the injuries received in his runaway accident on Sunday last. And that's the extent of the clipping. Now, carriages were a major form of transportation, as were wagons and stagecoaches. Now, stagecoaches were typically used to transport people between cities, and they were run by commercial ventures that ran them. And carriages were the mode of transportation for people that maybe were a little bit more upper class, and they got around town with the carriages, and they were open buggies. Very much the early form of the automobile was copied from early carriages. And there was no age limit, really, on who could drive a carriage. So you often had young people as well as old people driving carriages. And then there were also the ones that rode in wagons. And wagons were typically your farmers, your agricultural people, and they would come into town to get supplies and that sort of thing. And the carriages were typically owned and run by more of the wealthier class that lived around town. But the main mode of transportation for a lot of people during this time was just getting out and walking. But the major difference between a carriage and the automobiles that followed in later years is that the carriages were driven by an engine that had a mind of its own sometimes, and that's when you get into carriage accidents. Horses would get spooked, they might get injured and take off, they might lose a shoe, and there's all kinds of things that could happen to cause runaway horses, a sudden noise, etc. So there's a lot of stories that relate to that type of injury from carriages. And in the latter years of the carriages, in like the late 1800s during the Victorian era, there was the introduction of the railroad. So you have a lot of carriage accidents that are somewhat railroad related as well. And there were a lot of businesses around Battle Creek, for example, of all over Southwest Michigan. They did manufacture carriages, they sold them, and they also added accessories. Like, here's an example of a company run by J.W. Merwin, who had a business installing carriage trimmers like buggy tops on buggies downtown in Battle Creek off of Jefferson Avenue. He also sold whip sockets and rugs and all kinds of accessories for your carriage. Now, here's an interesting article that ran in June of 1880, and it gives you a little bit of an insight into life during this period as it relates to carriages. And the title of this article is called A Nuisance. After 6 o'clock at night, when the factories which run by the water power from the race shut down, the water rises so high that it floods the gutters on North Jefferson Street. Now, what they're talking about there is the mill race that was in downtown Battle Creek, which was a man-made channel between the two rivers. And when the factories were running during the day, they were spinning the water wheels. And the water wheels, in turn, would lower, I guess, the water in the mill race. But when they would shut down for the evening, the water would rise. And that's one of the problems they were noting in this nuisance article. And it would fill the gutters on North Jefferson Street until they have nearly a foot of water in them. In the morning, when the water recedes, the hot sun dries up the mud, and the stench which arises from it is intolerable. It is not only dangerous to the health of the merchants and their clerks, but a detriment to their trade, as people will not alight from their carriages into this water and mud. Hence, the complaint from the storekeepers make it justifiable and should be attended to. If some of the members of the council would visit the street tonight around 7 o'clock, they would no need be further argument to show them the necessity of something being done immediately. If the floodgates were opened when the mills shut down, it would obviate this very much. So this is very interesting. They were trying to resolve this issue between the merchants and the city, and I guess the solution would have been to open the floodgates at the end of the day to lower the mill water. But I guess that would have been a slower startup time in the morning for the mills, but that would have solved the problem for the merchants with the mud issue on Jefferson Street. So it's be interesting to find out how they eventually resolved this problem. But this was going on in downtown Battle Creek in 1880. Now, here's an article about an accident that happened in January of 1889. And the title of this article is Hit by an Engine. Last evening, as Engineer Fuller of the C&G&T Railway with locomotive number 25 was running from the city to Olivet to take a train east that had a disabled engine, he struck a carriage containing a man named David Thomas, his wife and daughter, seriously injuring all three. The engineer never knew of the accident until he reached Olivet and was oiling all around when he discovered his signal staffs gone and the pilot broken. By telegraphing back, it was found that the accident occurred at what is known as the Lime Kiln Crossing, just west of Bellevue. The horses had escaped, but Mr. Thomas had sustained a broken leg and was internally injured. Mrs. Thomas had her head badly smashed, her face being unrecognizable, while the girl had sustained internal injuries of a serious nature. All three were alive this morning, but it is doubtful if Mrs. Thomas survives the shock. She was unconscious at noon today when last heard from. The others appeared to be improving. Still, the extent of their injuries could not be ascertained definitely. So what they were talking about is the engineer was running the locomotive on his way to Olivet from Battle Creek, and when they got to the vicinity of Bellevue, where the lime kiln was, there was a crossing, and apparently he hit a carriage that had pulled out in front of the crossing, probably in the middle of the night, and he didn't notice a thing, and he didn't notice it until he saw some broken parts on the railroad engine when he stopped to oil the engine in Olivet. So that's kind of a sad series of events, and a lot of accidents with carriages and railroads obviously happened at these railroad crossings in rural areas. And there probably was zero lights during that time of day. Very sad story. Now, here's a story that didn't happen here in Michigan. It happened in Chicago, but it was carried in the Battle Creek newspaper in January of 1890. And I thought it was interesting enough to highlight this point of the dangers of carriages and railroads. Dashed into a funeral, mourners mangled at a railroad crossing. Four people fatally injured in a shocking accident, terrific powder explosion, the casualty record is the headline. And this happened in Chicago, and essentially what it was, there were four carriages attending a funeral of a 5-month-old baby outside of Rose Hill Cemetery. And it describes here Mr. and Mrs. Payne, whose home was at number 24 Aberdeen Street, were on their way with a few friends to bury their five-month-old babe. There were only four carriages in the procession. Mr. and Mrs. Payne were in the carriage immediately following the hearse, and with them were Mrs. William Reprigal and Gracie Payne, their little 8-year-old daughter. It was 3:30 o'clock in the afternoon, and the Milwaukee Express, 4 minutes behind time, was nearing the city at a high rate of speed. As the Payne carriage came squarely on the track, the engine struck it in the center, tearing it to splinters and instantly killing Mr. and Mrs. Payne. Mrs. Reprigal and Simon Anderson, the driver, received injuries from which they died within 2 hours afterwards. The only occupant of the carriage who escaped serious injury was the little girl, by what seems little less than a miracle, sustained only a few scratches. And that was the account of that tragic carriage accident over in Chicago. Here's another one that happened in July of 1890, the accidental death of Miss Jessie Beach. Saturday evening fell like a cloud of gloom over the community, and the occurrence was the theme of conversation all over the city. The facts of the accident are near as can be learned are as follows. Mrs. Beach had been in the country visiting friends, and at the time of the accident occurred, was returning home in a road cart with Miss Greenman's, whose guest she had been. When opposite the number 5 school building, some person, whose name has not been learned, came driving by whipping their horse. Mrs. Greenman's horse became frightened and kicked over the cart, striking Mrs. Beach square in the face. The injured lady fell into her companion's arms, and the horse, becoming unmanageable, ran away, jumping over a steep embankment into the yard of G.R. Browning. The ladies were thrown out of the cart, and the willing hands soon carried the unfortunate young ladies into Mr. Browning's house. Dr. Hawhey was summoned and sent at once for Drs. Kimball and Gillette. Mrs. Greenman soon recovered, as she was but slightly bruised and frightened. Mrs. Beach was taken to her home at 50 Wendell Street and was found to be fatally injured. The left cheek was crushed in and the nasal bone was separated from the skull bones and driven backward upwards into the brain. The upper wall of the cavity over the right eye was crushed, but the eyeballs were not injured, as was first reported. The pieces of bone were removed from the head, and everything possible done to relieve the girl, if possible, and possibly save her life, but she died around 8:30 p.m. in the evening. The accident is one of the worst happenings chronicled in Battle Creek for some time. The unfortunate girl was a member of the high school class of 1891 and very popular. A very sad story of a young lady having a tragic accident. And as you're probably aware at this point, the newspapers of that time spared no details about the horrible situations in an accident if they could sell newspapers. This next article comes from September of 1891, very similar to the beach story. It was a young lady hit in an accident, and this one was with a railroad car. The title of this article is Killed by the Cars. Yesterday afternoon, the CJ&M passenger train from the west, which is due to reach the city at 4:14 p.m., struck a horse and carriage being driven and occupied by Miss Mattie Belden, throwing her from the vehicle onto the track, splitting open her head from the forehead back to the crown, and again at right angles, with this from one of the ears meeting it. She is also crushed about the breast and was killed instantly. The circumstances of the sad affair, as related by the eyewitnesses, are as follows. Mrs. Belden was approaching the railroad tracks in her carriage from the south on Kendall Street when the horse became headstrong and unmanageable, and although she tried with her entire strength to control him, he persisted in running directly towards the track on which the railroad train was approaching at the height of its speed. The horse was struck by the pilot of the engine and was hurled higher than the smokestack. The wagon came around so as to receive a blow from the driving rod, and Miss Belden was pitched out and thrown to the south of the main track, her head striking on the rail of a side of the track leading to the Michigan Foundry. B.T. Skinner, who saw the accident from the window of the advance shops, says that he ran as fast as possible to the place and the unfortunate lady was dead when he reached her. The horse was carried some 15 rods further east and thrown to the south of the track. Every bone in his body and limbs had been broken and its intestines torn out. The carriage was wrecked so far as the running gear was concerned, every wheel and spoke being broken, and the body and top were thrown to one side and lay beside the remains of Miss Belden and those of the horse. The horse and carriage were the property of Judge Benjamin Franklin Graves, with whom Miss Belden made her home. Very sad story. Judge Benjamin Franklin Graves went on to become a judge on the Michigan Supreme Court for many years, just as a side note. And that's an example of a runaway horse, where the horse got spooked probably by the sound of the train and it ran right into the train. And here's another incident of a runaway. This came out in an article in 1893 in October in the Battle Creek Moon. The headline reads, "Five injured in exciting runaway this afternoon. A horse dashed among the workmen on the sewer. City engineer Brigden among the injured. A very exciting runaway created a decided sensation about the streets this afternoon about 8 o'clock. As Dr. A.H. Briggs was driving down North Jefferson Street, the four wheels of his carriage came out from under his buggy and let the body of the same upon the street. The doctor was precipitated headfirst upon the pavement, but fortunately escaped injury. The horse, with the four wheels of the carriage, turned the corner up East Main and dashed at great speed up the street. As the spectators ran out upon the street to watch the speeding horse, they saw him dash right among the workmen engaged in shoveling among the East Main Street sewer. From the commotion that appeared among them, it was evident that some of the men were injured. The people all made a grand rush for the scene of the accident. When the horse struck the head of the sewer of the manhole, he turned to the right and ran between the sewer and the embankment of dirt thrown up from the same. It was a narrow space, and he swept all before him. The more agile among the shovelers sprang upon the embankment. The horse struck Charles Webster, a spectator, who was standing by, and knocked him down. He was taken away in a hack. He had his scalp cut and a gash cut over his right eye, and his right leg was severely bruised. He struck Charles Stoltz of 30 Warren Street, Knight Coleman of the C&GT Yards, who was an onlooker at the work, and knocked him down. He was injured in the right side, but not seriously, and was able to walk home. The most seriously injured was city engineer Brigden. The horse struck him and knocked him head first down the 15-foot sewer. In his descent, he struck his head with great force upon one of the heavy timber braces. He fell at the feet of two of the shovelers, H. Reed and M. E. Abbey. Engineer Brigden was cut over the left eye and severely bruised about the body. He was, with much difficulty, taken from the deep ditch. Daniel McCarty, 66 Hart Street, and Thomas Strain, 343 South Division Street, two shovelers, were knocked down but escaped with no serious injury. The horse sped up the ditch, those working behind being warned by the cries of those below them, and escaped. The horse was stopped near Owen's Grocery. The accident called out a large crowd of people. So that was a runaway accident. Now, Main Street was on Michigan Avenue, so this would have been roughly in the area of the Kellogg Foundation, going on down the street in that direction towards the post factory, somewhere along that route. And I'm going to give you one more carriage accident And then I'll move on to another type of accident. But this one is kind of a shocking one. It was published in the 1894 newspaper of the Battle Creek Moon. It happened near the Galesburg area. And the headline reads, "Horrible. Will Fleming fatally injured yesterday. Bicycle accident. A frightened horse drives the shaft of the buggy through his bowels." Wow. What a headline. "A terrible bicycle accident occurred near Galesburg yesterday, which will prove fatal in all probability. Will Fleming of Lodi, Ohio, Sam Holmes, and A. Welch of this city were out riding on their wheels." On their wheels, they mean these big wheeled bicycles. "When they were near Galesburg, they met a team in the road." By a team, they meant a carriage being pulled by horses. "The two latter young men took the right side of the road, but Fleming did not apparently notice the approach of the horse. He was riding with his head down, and just as he was opposite the vehicle, the animal shied to the side of the road he was on. The shaft of the buggy struck him in the bowels, tearing his intestines in a fearful manner and leaving a gash from which the organs protruded. He rode on a few feet and dropped from his wheel, saying, 'I am killed.' His companions carried him to a farmhouse nearby, and young Holmes rode to Galesburg for Dr. Macbeth, who immediately responded to the call. A physician was also summoned from a sanitarium here and from Kalamazoo. All that medical skill could devise to make the young man easy was done for him, but his physicians say that it is doubtful if he recovers. The injured young man is 17 years old. His mother is a patient at the sanitarium. Her condition is critical, and it is feared that she will not survive the shock caused by the intelligence of the accident." So that one was quite graphic. Now, those were carriage accidents. Now, there's a wagon story that I want to tell you. It's a little bit different type of vehicle. And this one ran in the 1898 newspaper in July of Battle Creek Moon. And the headline is, "Crushed to Death. Leslie, the 7-year-old son of Mr. and Mrs. Fred Miller, was run over by a load of stone yesterday and died an hour later at his home on Goguack Street. Charles Miller, who drives for C.A. Caldwell, had been driving stone on Cleveland Street, and his little brother was sitting with him on the wagon when he fell off somehow and the front of the wheels passed directly over his abdomen. The wagon was then half full of stone. His brother jumped off and picked him up and started to carry him home. He dare not leave the horses alone, however, so he took the boy to Maury Sampson's residence, from whence he was removed to his home. Dr. Reynolds was summoned and did all that was possible for the little fellow, but the effect of the accident was death, which occurred an hour after he'd been brought to the home at about 5:30 o'clock. The little fellow would have been 7 years old next November had he lived, and the accident is a very sad one." So that happened over on Goguack Street in 1898. Now, there were also railroad-related accidents that didn't involve carriages, and it was quite hazardous work, and it still is to this day, and there are accidents that occur along railroads across the country. They have a lot of safety precautions to prevent these sorts of accidents, but people still get into trouble with railroad cars all over the country because it's not always involving workmen. But here's an example of a story that happened in October of 1880. Conductor A.S. Parker suffers a terrible accident by which he loses a leg and an arm. Conductor A.S. Parker of the Grand Trunk, who resided on Martha Street in the city, met with a terrible accident this morning early at Stillwell. He was assisting in coupling cars when his foot slipped and caught in the frog of the track, and before he could be extracted, he was pulled under the cars and his foot crushed, his thigh dislocated, and his arm cut off. Medical assistance was at once summoned. He was reported better this afternoon, but is still in a very dangerous condition. I think I would have used different wording than reported as better. Man lost his arm and his leg. I don't think he was doing better at that point. But maybe it's just me. There's another article here in 1898 in July. R.F. Waters killed, the result of a broken parallel rod hurled from the engine cab. his leg and hip broken, head smashed, and internal injuries received. Richard F. Waters, one of the best-known engineers on the Chicago and Grand Trunk Railroad, was fatally injured at Pavilion, the small station near Vicksburg, yesterday afternoon, and died in the night. The accident was a peculiar one. Mr. Waters was pulling his train, number 3 passenger, on the C and GT near Pavilion when the parallel rod on the side of the engine broke in twain. The broken piece struck the cab and hurled the engineer 40 feet in the air, demolishing that side of the cab. The fireman was not injured. Had the broken rod fallen down instead of going upward, the engine would have also been derailed and the train wrecked. As soon as the train could be stopped, Mr. Waters was found 2 car lengths in the rear of the spot, terribly injured. An engine and the baggage car was sent out from the city with Trainmaster Williams, Dr. Eugene Miller, and Dr. Pitcher, and brought the injured man back to the city. He was taken to Nichols Hospital, and an examination proved that his right leg was broken near the knee, his hip broken, his head badly crushed, and probable internal injuries. Doctors Miller and Pitcher and Dr. Braden of Scotts worked on him in vain, but he died at 11:40 p.m. Mr. Waters is an old-time railroader, having run an engine for 26 years, 15 of which has been spent on the Grand Trunk, both in Canada and the United States. He was a Canadian by birth, born and reared at Niagara Falls, Ontario, where he married Miss Mary Flynn, who died 16 years ago. He moved to Michigan and kept his position on the railroad. Very sad story. So that was my railroad stories that I wanted to include in this episode. Now, I want to give you a couple of other stories that I kind of threw into a collection of odd accidents. And this one is somewhat on the funny side. Some of you may not find it as funny as I did, but perhaps it was just the author of the story that made it funny. The headline of this story, which ran in 1880 in June in the Nightly Moon, the headline is "Fell in a Well." Monday afternoon, a lady of the East End met with a mishap. She fell in a well, and, being a heavyweight, great was the fall thereof. There was great commotion in the community when the accident became known, and frantic women rushed about crying fire, murder, etc. for some time. Finally, a rope was procured and adjusted about the waist of the drowning woman, but as soon as the rescuers began to pull, the rope divided and the 250 pounds of woman fell back into the water with a splash. After a time, a stout ladder was obtained, and the lady ascended from her damp place of confinement. She was somewhat bruised by the fall, but escaped serious injury. Very interesting. Let's move on. This article ran in the Nightly Moon in 1881 in January of that year. The headline reads, "Crushed, the terrible accident which befell E.P. Lowell." Last night at Nichols, Shepherd & Company's shops, as several of the workmen were engaged in shoving home of the large front doors, which weigh many hundred pounds, it suddenly broke its hinges and fell with a terrible force upon one of the men, E.P. Powell. The force of the falling door crushed him to the floor, breaking his shoulder, crushing in 2 or 3 ribs, and seriously injuring him internally. Dr. Paddock was called and set the broken bones, and although he is somewhat easier today, he is in dangerous condition. He is a new resident of the city with his family. The accident will confine him to his house for a long time. And this final story that I'm going to tell you relates to the advent of the age of electricity coming in at the tail end of the Victorian era. And this article ran in 1898 in March of that year in the Battle Creek Moon. And this story is called "Exciting Accident." Harry Styles receives a severe shock on an electric light pole. Great excitement was caused this morning after 9 o'clock by Harry G. Styles, a lineman for the Citizens Electric Light Company, receiving a severe shock on the pole at the corner of the Ward Block on the north side of West Canal Street. He drove up in a carriage with Superintendent Simons, got out and ascended the pole, and had commenced to working with a pair of pliers when he set up a series of the most distressing shrieks that were heard for several blocks and soon brought to the scene a crowd of people. Mr. Simons ran at once to Leon's grocery store and telephoned the powerhouse to cut off the current. In the meantime, the excited spectators were at a loss of what to do, some calling for a ladder and others for a rope. James Wilson climbed the pole and held on to Stiles' foot to prevent him from falling, the current having been cut off by that time. Stiles called for a rope, which was brought out of an adjoining grocery. By this time, a ladder had been secured from Waddle's hardware store and placed against the pole, and Stiles descended it without assistance. He was removed to the office of Dr. Lamoureux, where an examination disclosed no exterior injuries. Mr. Stiles was very weak, and his right side arm seemed paralyzed. He was then taken home in a carriage. Superintendent Simons stated that the accident resulted from the pole being damp. Mr. Stiles was working on his company's wires, but the wire of the Battle Creek Electric Light Company also touched the pole, and the electricity was conducted by the damp wood. Quite shocking, you might say. Anyways, that is going to conclude today's episode of a mixture of tragic accidents from all kinds of different causes during the Victorian era in Battle Creek and other areas around Battle Creek during the 1800s. I always enjoy looking back at a lot of these old newspaper clippings because they often give you a little bit of an insight into the daily life of the people. Just reading the descriptions of what they were talking about of the daily occurrences. I mean, they went over to the hardware store to grab a ladder, and they got a rope from this other grocery store, and the community comes around and tries to help, and everybody solves the problem as a group in some way, even though they were somewhat powerless to do anything with the man getting shocked like he was. But it wasn't obviously as much power as going to the lines that are out there today with the amount of current going to some of those power lines, or he would have been dead at the top of the pole. And it also offers insight into the transportation of the era and the changes in transportation that were happening from the old style of transportation with the carriages and wagons and the introduction of the railroads coming into communities and the hazards that that created. And this is before the era of the automobile. The automobile wouldn't see broad use for another 20 years. So I find looking into these types of stories quite compelling. But that's going to conclude today's journey through history. If you enjoyed today's episode, please be sure to leave a rating or review on whatever app that you are listening on. And if you would like to reach out to me, you can always find me at michaeldelaware.com. You can also purchase a copy of my book through my website at michaeldelaware.com. That book, again, is Victorian Southwest Michigan, True Crime. And the book was officially available for sale on Monday. You can also purchase it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble. I believe you can find it at Walmart. It's going to be also at Walgreens at some point. It will be in a lot of the major places that Arcadia Publishing distributes to. So you should be able to find it most anywhere. If you do a lot of your shopping online, you can find it easily on Amazon or Barnes & Noble. And they would probably offer you better shipping fees than I can offer you directly on my website. Or you can come out to one of my speaking events. I have a speaking event tomorrow evening. This episode is airing on Wednesday and Thursday night in Battle Creek at the Willard Library at 6 p.m. I am going to be speaking, and I'll be telling one of the stories from the book. And you can also come out and get a signed copy. So I hope to see you there. If not, take a look at my calendar at michaeldelaware.com. I've got several places that I will be speaking at throughout Southwest Michigan over the next 3 months. And I'll be at the Kalamazoo Living History Show this coming weekend. So if you want to go on out there and take a tour through that, that'll be a lot of fun. I'd love to meet you guys and we can chat a little bit in that environment. It's a lot of fun to attend that show. And this will be my first time being a merchant, I guess you would say, having a table at this show. So it'll be a long show. I'll be always looking for visitors to come by and help me get through the long days of the two-day weekend. But I've got several events happening. I've got a couple of events in Battle Creek, some in Marshall, some in Albion over the next couple of weeks, and there's a lot more on the schedule. I'm also speaking at the Colon Library next week, so check it out on michaeldelaware.com. And you can also follow me on Facebook at Michael Delaware Author, and go ahead and like that page, and you'll be able to keep up to date with all of my events that I have posted there as well. And you can follow me on Instagram. I've got a lot of posts up there that talk about some of the upcoming events. And my handle on Instagram is at Michigan History Guy. And until next time, when we take another journey into yesterday and we explore even more fascinating tales of Southwest Michigan's past. Thank you for listening.